I'm Carol Hills and for Marco Werman, and you're with The World. This week, Europe's migrant crisis escalated to a whole new level. I mean, just look at the latest headlines. As many as 200 feared drowned after two boats full of refugees capsized in the Mediterranean. More than 70 people dead in the back of an abandoned truck just south of Vienna in Austria. In a moment, we'll hear about Europe's struggle to come up with a response to this deadly crisis. First, we turn to a journalist who's spoken to many of the people who are actually living this nightmare, and to the smugglers who profit from the drama, like this man in Serbia.
Listen to me. If tonight you come, tomorrow about 1 p.m., you are in Vienna.
That was recorded by Cesar Desfuli. He's a reporter based in Spain. He was just in Belgrade, the Serbian capital, and while there, he was in the middle of interviewing a Syrian refugee when a smuggler named Alex walked right up to them and started offering a ride north.
So we were in one of those barracks where the refugees are waiting. It was just in front of the train station. He thought that I was a refugee as well, so he was offering it to both of us.
So we're going to hear a clip from that exchange. Tell us what we're about to hear.
Yeah, it's the whole conversation that we had with him and how he was explaining how they take these persons from Belgrade. They take them to the border by trucks. So after that, they leave them there. One person cross them by foot to the Hungarian side. And then there is another truck waiting for them, which take them to Vienna.
So basically, what we're going to hear is him explaining the details of how a refugee can make it to Vienna. Let's listen.
Last year, they are taking money in yen. Let's go in the van.
So you pay when you get to Vienna?
Last year was paying in Vienna. Our driver, that was the last tour last year, he tell guys to prepare the money. And when the Syrian guy out of the van, he want to take the money, and the police are come 8 years in the Vienna, in the prison here, because the money was on him. Because of that, they want now, you pay, get in the van.
Now, Cesar, when it came down to it, how much was the guy going to charge to get this refugee to Austria?
He was saying 1,000. It used to be 200. And because of some of the truck drivers were caught and put in jail, they increased this money. He was saying that there is every day more and more people passing by there. They know it. They know there is more demand.
What sort of organization is responsible for this kind of trafficking and transport?
I think there are different of them coming from different areas. For example, this one was the one who was working from Serbia through Hungary to Vienna. This guy who was talking to me, he was one of the drivers. They are like an international mafia. When they cross to Hungary, there is one truck which is with the European plaque. So other persons who are Europeans are driving the second ride.
Now, you use the term mafia. What do you mean by that?
Because how they are organized. It's I mean with mafia, this organization which is illegal, which is using people to get their money in these bad ways, let's say.
How common are these kind of trips?
I think it happens every day. He was saying to us that they had one truck ready for that night. And they were looking for at least 20 persons to be inside. I read also some news talking about that some mafias are using, for example, Facebook groups, because they know all the refugees are connected with Facebook as well.
You must have seen a lot of suffering in your coverage of the story. What kinds of things have you seen?
Yeah, well, all those families, like full families or persons who are walking alone as well, who left their family back, or persons whose family was killed in the war. Most of them had a really good life before the war started. Now they don't have anything. So that's why they are coming to Europe.
You've been following this story for some time in various parts of Europe. Do you think this current wave of migrants is actually going to get even bigger?
Sure. Right now there are between 3,000 and 5,000 entering every day by Greece. And since from Europe there hasn't been one answer to solve this problem, the situation will get worse and worse. Winter is coming and there is already a humanitarian crisis, but it would be worse. So we need to create one answer to this problem.
Cesar Desfuli just returned from Belgrade, where he'd been reporting on the migrant crisis. We caught up with him from his home base back in Spain. Thank you, Cesar.
Thank you.
So what should Europe do now? The White House said today that Europe needs to crack down on smugglers like Alex, the traffickers who are exploiting desperate migrants, and that Europe must find a way to create a safe passage for refugees fleeing violence. Gari van Gulik could not agree more. She's the Deputy Europe Director for Amnesty International.
We need a combination of measures. I mean, the big picture is that Europe will have to acknowledge that it cannot hide away from the largest global refugee crisis since World War II. We'll have to accept fundamentally that more people will need to be able to receive protection in Europe. So one is simply that acknowledgement. But the second thing is, very importantly, we're going to have to see an increase of safe and legal routes into Europe for those refugees. That means, for example, a dramatic increase in the resettlement places for Syrian refugees and others. It will mean more access to asylum at the land borders. But also, finally, and this is crucial, we need to make sure that those people who do make it to Europe themselves through perilous routes at the moment are treated with the dignity they are entitled to, so are not fenced off literally, are not controlled through tear gas, etc., but are actually treated with a basic respect and are able to access an asylum procedure.
Is there any country that has stepped up and said, okay, we're going to take this many? I mean, are there model countries in Europe that are stepping up and doing the right things and others need to follow that country?
Germany would be an example of a country where at least there is a sense that, for example, the Syrians who come to Germany will not be sent back to any other country in Europe. So they've clearly declared that, and that's an incredibly important example. Sweden has taken in a relatively large amount of people, but I have to say, in general, it's hard to compare because if you think about it, you know, Greece is struggling, they're failing, they have their own responsibility, they need to treat these people with basic care, basic respect, there need to be basic systems, but it's also a country completely crumbling. So it's a little bit tricky. It's very, very difficult to say which ones are failing. And to be honest with you, collectively, the entire European Union is failing.
What's the biggest holdup in Europe that you see?
It's politics. We lack leadership at the moment. We lack leadership and we lack honesty about the scale of the problem, the scale of the issue elsewhere, how Europe has been dealing with it. So we lack the political will, leadership to be truthful about what is happening. The truth is, this is not a choice between letting people in or not. I mean, people are coming. Okay, that Europe cannot hide from this gigantic refugee crisis globally. And so that's not the choice. The choice is between chaos and order, rather. You know, it's between letting people in an orderly fashion, managing this flow of migrants and refugees, making sure that it's done in a way that's respectful for their human rights, but also that prevents some of the chaos and the crises that we've seen. The biggest problem, really, is domestic politics, you know, xenophobia and issues around the fear of the electorate, if you will, and a fear that people will not understand that more people are allowed in.
Gari van Gulik is with Amnesty International.